You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome everyone to Rock M Radio. This is a brand new episode of Dive Cuts. We are still in season 7, slogging through this Missouri basketball season. This is Missouri Basketball Podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button at the bottom of this display. Hit the like button. It'll help us to sort of spread the good word. As we talk about bad things, I'm your host, Sam Snelling. You can see me on the left. If you're watching this obviously on YouTube, if you're not, if you're listening to the regular podcast feed, you're probably used to my voice by now. Hopefully you're subscribed. Matthew Watkins is here with me. Matt, how are you?
Doing good. I've noticed my face is looking a little bit more vibrant on the screen because of daylight savings time. The natural light is coming in. It's good to get that extra hour, right?
Yeah, you always prefer to record a little earlier. I'm happy to accommodate that. But yeah, I'm sure folks are maybe not quite as accustomed to seeing so much light behind me. Yeah, I'm used to it being a little bit darker and kind of needing like the front light that I've set up here. But in this case, it's the room is well lit, so still got it on, but it's just slightly illuminated. So let's just kind of rip this Band-Aid off. The SEC season wrapped up. Missouri did finish 0-18 in what one might call an improbable run through conference play. Ken Pom wrote about Missouri basically being the best winless team in conference sort of history. Not really the kind of moniker that you want on your season, but it is one that it is funny how so many things went right last year, and it just feels like everything went wrong this year. And it sort of culminated in a game that, if you take away, I mean, what was it, like a 4 or 5 minute stretch where, you know, Missouri was really, really awful. And they really handled LSU and would have won that game, but for just a really unfortunate stretch they went from up 7 to down 21. Mm-hmm. They did manage to kind of, you know, cut back the lead down to a single possession. It was actually just 3 points there in like the final minute. But again, just not enough to win. And that's how it's gone this year. nothing goes right. Every time you kind of need that play, that one sort of thing to fully swing the momentum your way, it just doesn't happen. When the other team gets going, you don't really have like that stopper, the way to, get out of their run, to kind of get a bucket for yourself, get a little string, kind of, you know, stop the flow of points on the other end. And I guess if there's good news in that, Mr. Watkins, it's that, you know, we only have one more game, probably at most two more, if they do actually, you know, pull off the upset and beat Georgia left in the season, then we turn our attention to the transfer portal.
That's right. It's the new rite of spring. We've got the conference tournaments and then the national tournaments, coaching carousel, and the transfer portal all going at once. And, you know, even for a Tiger team that was, by all accounts, amazingly bad record-wise, beyond my wildest dreams, you know, there's still no shortage of stuff to talk about now that we're getting around to spring. So, yeah, it's exciting. You know, I love this time of year, conference tournaments, been watching all weekend, went to the Missouri Valley tournament this weekend, which I'll plug it. If you've never been, you're going to have to wait a year, but get there. It's great. Fans are great. Events great. Teams play really good basketball. But yeah, I just love it. You know, this is my time of year. This is, to me, March and October with a slight lean to March are the best sports months of the year.
And you are missing some of what the SoCon to pod with us here tonight?
The Southern Conference Championship, and I had the Sun Belt on right before we started. So
you did get to watch the Sun Belt, at least a little bit of it.
A couple minutes, yeah.
Yeah. Also kind of, you know, trying to do a little scouting for potential portal entries, because that's mm-hmm. always what, you know, half this season about. So with conference play wrapped, I mean, do you have any like sort of grandiose takeaways? You know, I feel like at this stage, we kind of know what, you know, I think Harris and I last week did a pretty kind of deep dive into like all kind of like the core issues and, you know, and the difference between, you know, like what this team would have looked like with a healthy Caleb Grill and John Tanaji and what they ended up looking like without those guys helping them, you know, for 18 games. You know, I am kind of curious to see, you know, I feel like we talk enough through our Slack channel that, you know, I feel like I kind of know where you stand on it. But, you know, do you have any sort of grandiose takeaways, you know, now that the conference season is wrapped?
I mean, if Mizzou were to start conference play again with the same players playing the same schedule at the same locations, I could not see them going 0-18. You know, it's just the probabilities, mathematically speaking, of losing 18 games and being as competitive as they were in 14 of them. You know, there's what, three or four blowouts, and at least one, maybe two, were with Sean East out. You know, to repeatedly be as close as they were and to still lose, it just defies explanation. You know, and that's not absolving the roster. You know, there were faults. They had injuries. They didn't make plays when they needed to. Those are the key components of a team that goes 0-18. You know, this is not me making any excuses for what happened. I'm just saying, looking at it from a large scale, it's very, very hard to see that happening. And yet they managed to do it. So it was obviously disappointing. In 2024, how much does it mean going forward? We'll find out. I don't know that it means a whole lot, just the same as going, 25-10 and finishing top four in the league and winning a tournament game obviously didn't mean much for this year. It's just such a volatile sport anymore with the roster turnover that, you know, I don't know how much it means, but we'll soon find out. But as far as this year goes, it was bad. You know, I've seen worse teams, worse Mizzou teams win more games. And it was just, you know, this was not a good basketball team. And yet they still managed to underperform in the record column what they should have been. which is still a below average basketball team.
Well, so I think that's a that's actually an interesting sort of thought exercise here is you've been watching, you know, Missouri basketball for, you know, as long as I have for the most part. You know, we're close enough in age that, you know, a lot of the things that we remember are the same. What is like the worst Missouri basketball team that you remember watching?
I mean,
like for me, like, you know, jumping off pages, it's yeah. I mean, like the, any three of like the Kim Anderson seasons are, you know, were for me like worse than this season. You know, I realize, you know, that's going to be hard for some people to hear just because the record indicates that Missouri is worse, but yeah, I'm curious your take on that.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah, I would agree. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't cover Mizzou basketball at the time that Kim Anderson was coached. I followed it very closely, but to be able to delineate between his three seasons is difficult for me this far removed from it. So I don't know which of those three was the worst, but really any of them was worse to me. There's a case to be made that Konza Martin's last year was worse, even though they had more wins. And I think they ended up winning five games in conference season. But, I mean, you had games that year.
When they lost, they were completely uncompetitive.
Right. I mean, Mizzou obviously had a couple blowouts this year. Auburn was one, even though they were close at half. And then the Illinois game stands out to me as one of those types of games that we saw frequently Martin's last year when it was just – it was never a contest. They were trying to keep it within 30, which really wasn't a big – theme this year. I mean, it happened, but there were, for most games, I would say for all but two or three games, Mizzou was competitive for big chunks of the game, which I cannot say that for a lot of the Kim Anderson teams. So
yeah, so it is difficult.
Bad versus worse, but you know, there's degrees to it, and I would say it's in the conversation for sure. But I think I've seen worse basketball.
Yeah. And I would also kind of, you know, say that, you know, it's still funny. You know, Dennis Gates, despite not winning any conference games this year, has still won more SEC conference games than Kim Anderson won in 3 years. You know, I think
he won a road game this season, which, yeah. He won multiple games, but it doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, it's just, I don't like having this conversation because I hate speaking badly of anyone, but you know, just to my eye, it's, they were an underperforming team. They managed to be worse than they should have been. And it was just an entirely forgettable experience. The only thing that's memorable about it is how they were competitive and still managed to lose. I mean, I've got the running joke on Twitter about the average score with 10 minutes left in a game, and it was 54-49 was the average. And for like three of the last five games, it was within 2 points of that at the 10 minute mark. It's just the same thing. How they got there might've been a little bit different, but it was the same story over and over and over again. So,
yeah, you know, like it is pretty funny because, you know, I think we sort of collectively have like watched, you know, Dennis last year, and we all kind of knew that there was some outliers that happened in order for them to kind of land where they were. You know, like one of the, you know, the metrics that a lot of sort of NCAA folks look at is like the strength of record, and Missouri's strength of record, you know, and wins above bubble were terrific. You know, and a lot of that came down to just an unreal amount of like precision, you know, playmaking down the stretch of a lot of games. And I was texting with a friend today, who is a Mizzou fan, and clearly one, who I would say, like, probably a lot of people, like, once things started to kind of turn south, you just kind of tune out.
Right.
And so one of the things that, I pointed out is, like, we have such fond memories of last year. But the difference between, like, the team last year, obviously Kobe, Des Moines, those guys helped a lot. DeAndre Golston helped a lot. Isaiah Mosley, when he was healthy, was, a playmaker. And that all helps. But so does, two game-winning shots at the buzzer, mm-hmm. another game-winning shot on your last possession, Nick Honor, an unbelievable offensive run needed to come back and beat Wichita State on the road. You need to come back wins over Ole Miss and LSU, two Georgia. Teams that were kind of at the bottom of the conference, and Georgia. And so this kind of moves into the next thing that I kind of want to talk about, which is, kind of looking ahead a little bit, is the difference between like the bottom of the barrel in the SEC and being 500 in the SEC is not that great. And I think if you look at LSU just beat Missouri to move to 500 in the SEC, how much better than Missouri is that LSU team?
Yeah, that's a good question. And one thing I was looking at and kind of taking it back a little bit to our last conversation, and also applies to this, Mizzou was so lucky a year ago, and they were so unlucky this year, that if you just average those close game records out to 500 each season, which is about what Dennis Gates is at Mizzou, he's a 19-win coach and like a 14-win coach.
Right.
What would we rather have, a 25-win season and an 8-win season, or an NIT and a no tournament season, which is better than what we're having this year? But that's kind of how I look at it, to this question as well. Everything went right for Mizzou last year and they finished top four in the league. Everything went wrong this year for them and they finished winless. There's a very fine line, to get into the truly elite upper echelon teams in a given year, you've got to have more than just a good run. You've got to be a very talented roster. You've got to be deep. You've got to be effective all up and down. But to get up into that second tier, it's doable on any given season. Konza Martin finished fifth in his first year in the SEC. Dennis Gates finished fourth. It's perfectly reasonable to do it, but yet Mizzou has not done it any other season. So it's figuring out a way to get that, to raise the floor where a bad season doesn't completely unravel like this one does. So many games are decided by late game situations, close game records. And, Dennis Gates will be, fondly remembered for last year because of that. And he will have a pretty big black mark on his career resume this year because of the same reason, just going the opposite direction. So,
South Carolina finished 25-6 and 13-5 in the SEC. They were 47th in KenPom. Texas A&M finished 18-13 and 9-9 in the SEC, and they were 48th in KenPom. Mississippi State finished 19-12, 8-10 in the SEC, 39th in KenPom. And then you look at, LSU, 17-14, 9-9 in the SEC, 91st in KenPom. Who finished 92nd in KenPom? Georgia did. Georgia is 16-15 and 6-12 in the SEC. The margins here come down to can you flip a few games? Missouri flipped none of them. Last year they flipped a lot of them. The question is, would you rather have a season like last season, which was a blast, if it cost you a season like this? And I think when you're talking about two thirds of the SEC, like this is what your life is. I think it's a reasonable expectation for people at Kentucky to finish top four in the league every year. It's a reasonable expectation for people, you know, at Tennessee and Rick Barnes to absolutely finish top half in the league. Probably at this point, you probably say the same thing for Alabama and Auburn. But outside of that, I mean, even Arkansas, who I think everybody was sort of like on the must bus there for a while. I mean, Arkansas did not finish in the top half of the league last year. They had a strong enough sort of non-con slate, and they won enough sort of like big games in SEC play to sort of put them into the SEC or NCAA tournament, you know, but they were a, you know, bottom half of the league team last year. So I think there's like this group of like two thirds of the SEC where like your goal every year is to kind of be like, we need to get to 500. And then what you want to do is you want to flip two, and if you're lucky, three games. South Carolina flipped more than that. They flipped basically four above 500. And one of them came at the cost of Missouri Tigers. Like, you know, Mizzou should have beaten South Carolina at home very early on in the season. And you know, I was talking to my dad the other day, and I'm like, this is one of those things, you know, you kind of talk about sliding door moments. And for me, like South Carolina, that game was very much a sliding door moment, because if you beat South Carolina, they were coming off getting curb stomped at Alabama, and they came in, they snatch an overtime win at Missouri. Now they're feeling better about themselves. And they go on this run, and they end up going 13-5. Missouri, meanwhile, that was their third straight loss. It was a very winnable game. Their next game was going to Alabama, if I remember correctly. And another game that's going to be really, really hard to win. And it's sort of stacked up. Like Missouri had two very winnable games in their first four. And then the Kentucky game was one of those where like, well, you know, if we're playing well and Kentucky's still kind of young, maybe you can snatch that. But Kentucky turned out to be a little bit better earlier than I think some people thought. And so that's kind of where you ended up is this moment of you lose to South Carolina. They win. They go this way. You go that way. And if they win that game, you know, like, and I'm not saying that if they win that game, they're going to go 500, you know, but obviously, if they win that, they're not going to go 0-18. I think you're probably looking at more like a 5-1 team, you know, as opposed to what happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's not only the math, the probabilities of it that we've been talking about, but when you've lost the first game against Georgia, where you led late, let it slip away. And I believe that was an overtime game, if I remember right. It was either that one or South Carolina.
I think that went to overtime, no.
Okay. I believe we had one overtime there in the first week, but I could be misremembering. Either way, Mizzou was very competitive.
South Carolina was the only overtime.
Okay. Had them transposed there. But, you know, if you win one or both of those games, not only do you have two wins, you've got a team that, you know, okay, we can win close games. You know, this is not a problem. We won close games last year. We're going to do it again this year. Instead, you take two losses for a team that is not overly talented and not overly deep, and one that is often competitive, and you've got this avalanche cascading effect for the mentality of the team when you get late game situations that you're lacking confidence. And even though you've got a senior laden roster, you've got a lot of freshmen and you've got some new players involved as well. So, you know, I do think there's probably some aspect to that in their headspace that once they started losing and they lost close games, that was just a matter of routine, so to speak, that when you got in that situation, it was expecting what was going to go wrong. versus a year ago when you were just waiting for something to go right and it generally happened. You know, folks who played sports, I'm not saying it's all momentum. That's just a part of it. You know, that you feel better when you're a team that is accustomed to winning those games than when you're in a close game and you feel and a team that always loses them. So I think that had an effect as well.
I talked about that actually, some during kind of the football season is like, that it not necessarily like momentum, but you start to believe that you're good. And, Missouri this season coming into the season, clearly nobody thought Missouri was going to be good. You kind of look at South Carolina basketball in the same way, like South Carolina, it's been hammered in everybody's head at this point, was picked to be 14th. Missouri was, I can't remember exactly, but, like 9th and 10th or 13th in some, polls, depending on what the expectation was kind of coming into the football season. And then Missouri basketball last year, like I think a lot of people thought that Mizzou was going to be 11th or 12th. And so I think what's happening is there is some, credence to this idea that it takes you a little while to kind of figure out what you have in the season. And once you've figured out what you have, then it takes a little while to kind of build in the belief that you're going to be good. And last year, like Dennis loaded up, the non-conference slate with cupcakes and it worked out really well. 'Cause like they worked out a lot of kinks this year. Second game they played was against Memphis, who, for the first half of the season, Memphis looked like a surefire NCAA tournament team. Things kind of fell apart once they added Naquan Tomlin, and then I think the rotations and, like sub patterns, all so can kind of just get out of whack and the chemistry is thrown off and they just haven't been right since. But Memphis at that time was like a top 35 team.
They're playing good basketball.
And even like the Minnesota game, that's a game that they probably don't play last year. And Minnesota was not the same team at the beginning of the year as they've been kind of in Big Ten play. They've been a lot better. People that have not sort of followed up on what Minnesota's doing, it was certainly looking like Ben Johnson was going to get fired earlier this year. Now it looks like he's going to get another year at least. Because they finished like 75th in KenPom, and they beat some good teams in the Big Ten during the year. So
they're likely an IT team, I would think.
But to kind of get back to, I think my point was talking about essentially like letting your team figure itself out against opponents it can beat, and Missouri did that last year. South Carolina did that this year. And one of the reasons why their KenPom rating is sort of, holding steady kind of in like the 40s, as opposed to like keep going up despite them winning a lot of really tough games, is because like, the early part of the season for them was a struggle. Like they weren't blowing out bad teams. They were beating bad teams, but they weren't blowing them out. And that's similar to like, kind of like what Missouri did a year ago. And that teaches you kind of like what you need to do to win games. And I think it's paid off. It paid off for Mizzou last year. It's paid off for them this year. And I do kind of wonder, maybe to the detriment of early season viewing, if this is something that a lot of these kind of like this second, and third tier of the SEC, if the approach is going to be to sort of load up with an easier schedule and like get your wins under the belt, get your team figured out, and get them believing that they're going to win a lot of games.
Yeah, it could be. We'll see how Mizzou handles it next year. That's a good point. I think that there's some credence to that, not only from the stacking wins perspective, but also from the team building, from the chemistry, the belief that you're going to win, that type of thing. So, we will see. But Mizzou has two pretty good teams on the schedule for at least immediate perpetuity with Kansas and Illinois and rivalry games. So you're always going to have some pretty solid contests there, but there is a lot of a lot of room to maneuver.
There is. I don't know how much we want to kind of spend on you know, this segment. They're, you know, they're going to play Georgia Wednesday night. We're recording this Monday, March 11th. It is just after 7 p.m. Central Time. And yeah, they're going to play Georgia Wednesday night, probably around 8, I think. The first game starts at 6, second game starts after that. Maybe it's like 5:30 and 8. You think as much time as Mizzou has spent on those Wednesday night games, that would have like their schedule down by now? But
I think it might be 30, but don't quote me on that. I think it might be 6.
But they are, yeah, they are in the late game on Wednesday. So the season may be coming to an end on Wednesday. I think for sure, if they're able to kind of pull off the upset, you know, they're probably going home on Thursday. That's kind of usually how these things go. If there's any kind of upset on Wednesday, that team is usually dispatched. Your legs start to go, particularly in the second half, you know, quick turnaround, having to play a game back-to-back days. Team is fully rested. I think basically like you're probably come out competitive for the first half and then things start to slip. So at most, I'm thinking that the season is probably going to be over Thursday. And then we're waiting until Sunday for the transfer portal. Watkins, we're going to be covering the transfer portal pretty heavily because the way that you can sort of quickly address needs, and Matt Harris sort of had a Twitter thread talking about continuity. Mm-hmm. Missouri needs some help next year. I think we all like the freshmen. We all like the incoming class, but expecting that core of like 8 guys to like turn to like a competitive team overnight is probably asking too much, especially when all you're bringing back outside of that, you know, is maybe like Aiden Shaw. There's some flux around kind of like the rest of the roster, and even like, you know, anything's possible in the portal era. Like it's entirely possible that everybody who could come back next year decides they just want to enter the portal. And then we're going to have a whole lot more turnover. But at this point, we kind of expect all 3 freshmen to come back. We expect Aiden to be back. And then after that, it seems like there is probably some decision making that needs to be made, but Missouri looks like they're probably looking to add like 3 guys. And I think we're going to be covering that pretty hard.
Yes, we will.
Anything you want to add on that?
I would say as far as the returners go, I would probably expect Tamar Bates to be back as well. Aiden Shaw.
Oh, yeah. I totally overthought. Yeah, we do expect Tamar Bates to come back.
I would say the 3 freshmen and Tamar are probably at the top as far as what I expect to come back. Aiden Shaw is maybe a little bit lower than that in terms of my projection percentage. And then you've got the 2 seniors who have the redshirt capabilities with John Tonjay and Caleb Grill. I would probably not expect both of them to return. I think one of them returning is possible. But beyond that, I think just based on what we've seen from how much playing time guys have gotten down the stretch, I don't think Kurt Lewis has appeared in a game in what, the last 6 games, 5 or 6.
Yeah, it's definitely like the last, I think there was one game he kind of appeared late in.
Okay. Well, no matter his playing time, whatever it was previously.
I think he did get some blowout minutes against Auburn.
Okay.
A ringing endorsement there, but
I believe Jackson Francois got some minutes in that game too. I'm just saying that as far as where he's at in rotation, you know, it's, and that's been a shift from midway through the conference season when he was playing in the first half of multiple games for extended periods of time. But him and Jesus Carolero, who's played a little bit more than that, but not as much as he had earlier. I get the feeling that as we get down the in the dog days of the roster year, or excuse me, the season, that Dennis is kind of putting forth what he's expecting to return next year. Basically the freshmen, Aiden Shaw, Tamar Bates. And then of course the three seniors who have been valuable players to varying extents this year. So beyond that, I mean, multiple guys could return. I think if they do, and they're playing a lot of minutes, it may not be the best thing for Mizzou. We'll see. Players improve over the offseason, but I think when we're looking at this now, that group of five to maybe six players returning, and then your five freshmen are going to be what makes up the non-transfer portal component of next year's team.
Yeah, and so I think this is going to naturally help us pivot into what I wanted to sort of culminate our podcast with. And that's sort of like something else that we're doing at Rock M. And you'll notice that I didn't finish that to Rock M Nation. and that's because we've been working on a little project. And the project is sort of loosely based around this idea that that our podcast was sort of cut loose from the whole SB Nation. They decided they wanted to like stop sort of hosting the podcast and doing all that. And they're basically going to give us the podcast back, do what we want to do with it. And I think that's just sort of changed up the way that we looked at how we were doing our podcast. It's why we came to YouTube. It's why we joined up with Fans First Sports Network. But that naturally led us into this idea that we have other things that we can offer at Rock M. And so we're introducing a new service. I meant to create a banner for this, so I'm going to put this on a banner real quick. this is thrilling for people that are listening on our recording. So we are introducing Rock M Plus. I realize the name there may feel somewhat familiar, as I feel like everybody has Plus now in their names. But the reason is because it adequately subscribes or describes what this is. And this is a subscription service that we are offering now, that you can go to rockm.plus, which is the site's online right now. We are not taking any signups yet. We're still kind of troubleshooting, some of the back end of the signups. It works. It just doesn't work exactly how I want it to work. And so we're looking at starting to, take subscriptions starting very soon, hopefully on Wednesday, but definitely before the transfer portal opens on Sunday. And I would say probably Wednesday, Thursday at the latest. But right now you can go to the website. Like I said, it is rockm.plus, and you can get an idea of what it is. You can actually sign up for the form there, which will notify you once the site goes live. And so, Watkins, I'm happy that you're actually on the podcast with me for this, because you are kind of a driving force behind some of the ideas that we landed on. And so I kind of think that I'm going to let you kind of help me describe some of the stuff here. I think one of the biggest things that we're going to be introducing is an all new Rock M Plus message board. I know that there is a thirst for discussion. It seems to me that Twitter has become a slightly more volatile place. And even though that is a place where a lot of conversations happen, sometimes the conversations aren't the most productive. There is a message board at Power Mizzou. There is a message board at tigerboard.com. Sort of a common complaint about those spaces is that they're sometimes hostile. and not the most moderated and not the most enjoyable spaces. So we thought, especially with the SB Nation comment system kind of not being great with some of their updates, is why not come up with a message board that can be moderated, that can be a good, positive environment for any and all subscribers, and be a place where people can sort of meet online and talk about Mizzou sports. That's the idea behind the message board. Watkins, I know that you were excited about this feature. What do you expect will be driving people to the message boards?
Well, I think, you know, not just who's on Twitter, who's on our comment section, that notwithstanding, I've found a difficulty in having discussions with people. You know, people ask good questions of me on Twitter. I'm not going to write a story about their questions. I don't have the space in the tweet replies to adequately address their questions. I think having a place where the three of us, and then of course, this isn't just basketball, football, Olympic sports, everyone can come in here and interact with the contributors to the site in a more easy format. You know, we have our own side chat, if you will, going on in the Slack channel. We talk a lot of hoops in there. We talk every day. We talk about a lot of stuff we're hearing. We talk about just our thoughts on it. And none of this is going to go on. Well, most of it's not going to go on Twitter. I'm not going to write a story on any of these things, but it's useful information that I would like to put somewhere in a informal place that allows me the space to write about something. So transfer portal, that's a absolutely great place for this format to work. You know, we can talk about what's happening on the in the transfer portal front. I can talk about the players I've watched. I can talk about what I like about them, what I don't like about them. We can talk about visits that are coming up. We could talk about visits that we hope are coming up. You know, I've got a list of no less than 75 players sitting on my desktop right now, that it's not really worth writing a story about. I have no reason to believe that Mizzou is going to recruit any one of these guys individually, but I'm guessing they're going to recruit some of them. Yeah. You know, where do I put this? It's not really worth a story. I mean, here's a list of names. You know, you click on it like, okay, what do I do with it? I can't really comment on it. You know, I can drop a comment. Is he going to reply? I don't know. In a message board format, you can't. You know, we can chat. You can ask me questions. I can ask you questions, whatever. I think it's a lot better place to have conversations about the subject matter, you know, than what we're currently limited to in the comment section. And then, of course, the social media replies, you know, and I don't occasionally I'll get not upset, but a little rankled by some of the content of the replies, not because it's directed at me, just because it's dumb.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. So
yeah, and you
know, this well, is a good place to really just have a, you know, flesh things out. If we want to talk about a player, if we want to talk about, you know, what we were talking about earlier in the podcast about Mizzou having bad luck, I can say that on Twitter, but then I'm going to have to say, well, it's not bad luck. They're terrible. Well, that's also true, but here's what I'm saying. I'm not going to write a full article on it. You know, there's a big space in between tweets and full articles that is unoccupied right now that I think this is going to allow us to, give you a lot more content and a lot more interesting things that we hear that we're not going to blast on social media. You know, we're not the deepest insiders, but we certainly hear things. You know, we talk to people. We get things wrong. We get things right. It happens. You know, this is a perfect place to put that.
Yeah, there is going to be some sourced information available. I love how the background is completely changing too as the sun sets. you know, there is going to be like stuff that we are going to be able to, I would say, be more at ease to freely discuss on a private message board versus putting something in an article and being sort of beholden to sort of that's, you know, same sort of like journalistic, you know, practice of, you know, making sure that not as you're just hearing it from like one source, but hearing it, you know, multiple places and being able to kind of confirm that. So I think like that, I think it's going to be a big advantage for us. I think it's going to be a really fun tool. And I really, really believe in our team and the expansion of the team and what we've been able to kind of provide at Rock'em Nation. None of that is going to change as far as what we're publishing at Rock'em Nation. But having access to the message board is going to be really important. The other thing that we are going to be doing is for people that aren't going to the site on a daily basis, we are going to be composing a weekly newsletter that'll get you kind of caught up on the big news stories of the week. Obviously, as we're heading into an off season for both football and basketball, it's going to be some slimmer pickings, but we're still going to be covering, you know, softball, baseball, and, you know, like spring soccer is coming up, track and field is going on. Our Olympic coverage has been great. And I think that there is a lot of fans out there who really care about those sports as well. So having access to a weekly newsletter where you don't necessarily, you know, have to click on everything that you read, every article, we are going to sort of sum it all up in one spot. These podcasts. So I think this is another cool thing that we're going to do is our podcasts are going to record live for subscribers. So we are going to allow the interaction of people that are that want to join us live. We are going to have a schedule. The schedule is going to be available for subscribers. The live videos are not going to be available for our regular YouTube subscribers. So if you are subscribed to this channel and you want to be a part of the live broadcasts, then I would recommend, you know, signing up for Rock'em Plus. On top of that, we are adding another podcast to the family, and one that I'm really, really excited about. For those that read the site, you probably noticed that we have Chad Bowler writing for the site now. Chad, for 25 years, was the sports information director for the University of Missouri. And that was all the way up until COVID. He got laid off during COVID, like a lot of people did. And Chad is terrific. So he knows a lot of people. He is starting a podcast. He and I are actually going to probably be doing a few recordings here in the coming weeks. And subscribers are going to have early access to that. We are still going to filter those podcasts onto our regular feed, but it is going to be at a fairly significant delay, especially in the off season. And considering some of the guests that he's talking about lining up, I think getting in early and listening to those podcasts is going to have some real value. Another thing that we're going to do is, so we've already had two t-shirts. We are going to continue to sort of do this t-shirt thing with 573tees.com. Mickey has been awesome at 573tees. If you haven't been over there, you can go over there now and sort of, you know, you can still buy our t-shirts, the two that are up there. We are going to basically try to have about four t-shirts a year at least. And any t-shirt that you buy as a Rock'em Plus subscriber is going to be $5 off. So this is like, this is super cool because it's basically a free month of subscription. So I don't think I've actually mentioned how much this is going to cost. So yeah, so there you go. That's what it is. $5 a month, which, you know, like that's cheaper than a meal at McDonald's. So $5 a month, $50 for a year. If you buy a t-shirt, you're already knocking $5 off the cost of that. You know, and the same deal applies for the t-shirt. Honestly, like the bulk of the money that those t-shirts go to 573tees. So it's supporting a local Columbia business, which we're really happy to do. Any money that we make, we're gonna sort of put that into a pot and donate it to name, image, and likeness stuff. Try to make sure that we're helping support the student athletes at Missouri. And then there's a couple of things that I want to kind of work on that if we get enough subscribers and we get people that are excited for this feature, then I want to roll out like an email and SMS service for breaking news. A lot of those services, to be quite frankly, are sort of expensive. So it does sort of require people signing up, you know, because I've already been, you know, investing a fair amount of like my personal income into this venture to make sure we have server space and all that kind of stuff. This is not anything that I'm looking to make a lot of money on. For full disclosure here, like our budget at Rockin' Nation is really limited. This is an opportunity for me to get some more money into the hands of people that do a lot of work. So like that includes a lot of our student writers who work for peanuts, if not less than that. And so, yeah, like it's one of those things, like, you know, I don't at this point have any full expectation on what subscriptions are going to look like. I'm excited. I think we have a product that people will be excited for. I think it is something that we could have like a lot of interest in. I do want to make sure that we're taking care of the people that are out there reporting the news and writing the stories and all that kind of stuff. And this is a really, really great way to do that. So if you like what we do at Rockin' Nation and you think, you know, that you want to sort of not just see us continue, but even bolster what we're currently doing, then I think this is also going to be a valuable service for people to sign up for. I think that's most of what I wanted to kind of talk about.
Yeah, that's a good job listing the features. I would just say the benefit of all of this is that you, the consumer, gets to get involved. You know, we've kind of been a little detached from our consumers. I don't want to say that in a bad way, but just the format in which we put our stuff out there with our articles, you know, you can comment on it, but if we don't see it or we don't come back to it, you know, then you're just left hanging with it. Now we have the opportunity to interact with one another. And I think that's a big thing. You know, I like a lot of the people that I encounter in various social media formats, that we're talking Mizzou basketball, we're talking basketball in general. You know, that's what I enjoy, is just talking basketball. It's literally in my Twitter bio. I talk hoop. That's what I do. It's better to have people to talk with, you know. So when we've got a message board format and we've got the live podcasts, you know, that allows us to interact with you. And I think that's a big thing that I will enjoy, and I would hope that you, the consumer, enjoys as well. Well, you know, that we don't profess to know everything, but we know quite a bit, you know. And if we're not writing a story about it, then it's not getting out there in the public sphere, you know, or at least in the hands of you. So I think that would be a really big thing that if I were not working here, that I would be interested in. You know, Matt Harris and I talk all the time on Slack. You know, Sam is well aware of that. We talk about how the recruits are doing. We talk about how potential portal guys are doing. We talk about lineups. We talk about offensive sets. We talk about God knows what. Last year was tournament projections. I was releasing tournament projections weekly, but we talked about it daily. That type of stuff never makes it out anywhere, and I think there's a place for it. And if you want to read it, that's great. If you want to ask us questions about it, it's even better. Well, so that's my spiel as far as what we're going to be offering and why I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I'm super excited. And I haven't been as involved in our basketball discussions lately because I've been working really hard to kind of get this ready to go. Anybody that knows me knows, like, I am not a computer programmer, I know my way around some technology enough to kind of, get things working. It's like I said, the site is live. There is a link on the main page there that you can click to sort of get notified if you want to know when the site will be live. I will have an extensive post coming probably tomorrow that we'll kind of talk about all the features. And I am still targeting Wednesday as our official launch date, and, you know, for all that. I'd love to have it up and ready and have some people signed in and ready to talk, you know, basketball, like, for the game, because we can sort of have that interaction. And and you guys very early, you know, early on see the kinds of things that we talk about, like, during a basketball game, you know, as we've sort of moved a lot of those conversations off of Twitter and just onto our Slack channel, where now we're moving these to the message board. And I think that's going to be a fun thing. So with that all said,
One other thing I wanted to mention is that at least in basketball, and I'm not saying it doesn't apply to other sports, but at least with our three-man basketball team here, we a lot of the people that we know are consumers of our content, and potential message board posters are very informed, very closely connected people to the program. And I'm not going to say who, but you know, we talk with people who read our stuff, and this isn't tooting our own horn. This is telling you a feature that we expect there to be some people that are coming onto the message board that will know quite a bit. And how much they share, I don't know, but we know the various people who we expect to be members of the community. So it's not just going to be us three yammering about basketball. It's not just going to be Nate talking about football. You know, there's going to be people in there that I find the value of the message board is not always the people who run it, but the people who contributed to it as subscribers. So, you know, I think that will be a big feature that we didn't list off that should end up happening. So.
Yeah. And I would add on well-moderated. Like, I think it's important to have, a good community. Like, you know, I think that's something that Rock'em Nation was always about, was making sure that the community aspect of it was alive in the comments. We're carrying that over. We're using a lot of the same, you know, rules and approaches, you know, that we've used for years at Rock'em Nation. We're applying that to the message boards. It's going to be a really good environment. And you know, not that you can't like post something if you're frustrated and you want to get something off your chest. Yeah, like, you know, we're all fans. It happens to us. You'll probably see Watkins say something like that occasionally. But
the Game of Thrones will have a little bit more leeway. A little bit more leeway.
Exactly. Yeah. So but like I said, we're excited. You know, get signed up on Wednesday, and that we'll carry this discussion ongoing in perpetuity, and we can't wait. So thanks everybody for tuning in. Like I said, for anyone who hears this and is planning on subscribing, our podcasting schedule will be going up on the message board, so you'll be able to access when we're recording, and you'll be able to partake if you want to enjoy those. Regardless, podcasts will be forthcoming. Again, there will be no like severe changes to the content that's going up at Rock'em Nation and on our podcast feed. So a lot of this is going to be bonus, sort of like you buy like the Blu-ray DVD and you get all those bonus features. That's basically what this is. So there you go. Like director commentary. So thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more podcasts and hopefully some updates on what's going on at Rock'em Plus. Thanks for tuning in, and see you next week.
Thank you everyone for tuning in to Rock'em Radio, a proud partner of Fans First Sports Network. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to see more just like it beamed directly into your personal device, just click the subscribe button below. Beep. And you can find this podcast through the Apple Podcast app or for iPhone or the Google Podcast app for Android or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. We are also available on Spotify. Just search for Rock'em Radio. And if you like other sports, Fans First Sports Network is a podcast network that has coverage of all other teams, Major League Baseball, MLS, NFL, whatever you want to listen and read about. It is a great, great network full of really fantastic podcasts. So look them up and subscribe to any and all of those podcasts. Rock'em Radio will be back with more episodes coming soon. Thanks.